Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
A very dramatic rescue of two little girls yesterday in Tennessee by some incredible police work, really, resulted in the rescue of those girls. The self-inflicted gunshot wound suffered by this guy Jones apparently is treatable. He will survive, although he blew his own jaw off. It was an incredible bit of police work. They used something called a pit maneuver. It could possibly be dangerous. It could have turned that car over. But you got to remember, it was a life and death situation. This man had said he was going to kill these girls. The officers that were in pursuit knew that, knew the threat, and knew they had to do something and do it pretty fast. And they exercised the pit maneuver, which is where the police car hits the right or left rear of the vehicle, causing it to spin out. It's exactly what happened. It was textbook. It came to rest up against a tree. The girls were fine. This guy Jones tried to kill himself and wasn't successful. The gentleman on the line right now, Dave, you are studying criminal justice?
Yes, sir.
And where is that?
Right now, Mr. Henry, I'm studying criminal justice at L.A., Canyon College in L.A. But the reason why I called that...
Tell me. Because I know you have a great admiration for police, don't you?
Yes, sir, I certainly do, and I wanted to congratulate the Tennessee police for their capture of the perpetrator that abducted these two children. To me, it was interesting to watch their technique during that high-speed chase.
Well, they said it was a pit move. You know what that is?
Well, I guess I should say that first of all, it's my desire to become a member of the LAPD, and as such, I am understandably influenced by the methods of LAPD. You said that the Tennessee police used a pit move. I consider the LAPD to be, as everybody does on the front lines of law enforcement, to be the number one police department in the world. And so I'm partial to their methods.
Oh, well, all right. So does that mean you don't like the pit move, this Tennessee police move?
Well, I mean, I guess what the Tennessee cops did was okay, but I mean, I think LAPD... And those of us on the front line of law enforcement know LAPD would have done it better. And I don't mean to rain on no parade, you know, I just am saying, you know.
Well, certainly the Tennessee police, the state police, did a great job saving the lives of those kids.
Well, yeah, they did. And I don't want to take nothing away from that, but I think we all know that if this had happened, I guess the reason why I'm coming on, I'm hearing everybody talking. I heard you talking about it. I heard a lot of the other talk show hosts talking about it and whatever and what have you, you know. And I said, you know, I'm going to call up, like, because I think somebody has to weigh in and say, yeah, it was good, but LAPD, you know, let's not get too far afield of what we know. LAPD's the best. Okay.
Well, so were you concerned that people were praising the Tennessee police for saving these girls' lives? Or that's not a problem, is it?
No. It's not a problem to save the girls' lives. But let's not get too far away from who the best police department is. The LAPD...
All right, let me get back to this. You said the LAPD, they never would have had to chase the guy.
Oh, absolutely, no. See, that's the thing, right? The Tennessee police, okay, what they did was good and everything, but LAPD, would never have gotten that far.
You know why?
Well, to understand the answer to that question, you have to understand the mentality of a peace officer, you know? I mean, I will be sworn to uphold the law, okay? But, you know, if you want to take off on me, I'm going to rock and roll on you, you know? And LAPD, they would never have let not it go that far.
When you say that if you take off on me, I'm going to rock and roll on you, are you talking, I'm going to shoot you?
That's affirmative, yes, sir. See... That's the thing about a lot of these hillbilly, and I don't mean to say hillbilly police, but they are kind of hillbilly because they don't, like, you know, they're not ready to rock and roll. LAPD is, that's all.
All right, David, and your last name's Oliver, right?
Yes, sir, and thank you very much for, you know, giving this time, too.
Well, it's you're a law enforcement aspiring police officer, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
You're saying some things here, though. And I know you don't mean to offend the police in Tennessee, but you're saying some things that even 24 hours after the saving the lives of these girls may offend some of those officers.
Well, I mean...
It sounds like you're discrediting the very heroic work of those Tennessee police. They were racing against time with a suspect that was going to kill... You know.
Well, let's If this happened in L.A. County, those girls would be alive right now, and the perpetrator would be dead. He wouldn't be alive. The reason why he's alive is, and you're not going to like this, is he couldn't hold the gun straight, probably because he was laughing so hard at how they pulled him over. And so he's like, you know, laughing, and the gun, he goes to shoot himself, but he's laughing too hard.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The Tennessee police, in my opinion, a very heroic job in saving the lives of those two girls. This young man is partial to the Los Angeles Police Department, and he says the LAPD never would have let it get as far as it did, meaning it never would have been a high-speed chase.
No, sir. Never would have been no high-speed chase, that's for sure. Never been no high-speed chase. LAPD would have rock and roll, man, because that's...
Well, first of all, it's not a bad thing that the guy's still alive. You say...
Well, you have to look at it from the standpoint of the police officer. If you got been in training for this moment, and some turkey thinks he's going to take off on you with two hostages, this is what you've trained for all of your life. And he never would have made it to the car. They would have neutralized the perp before he attempted to flee. And it would have saved the people of the county a lot of money, too. I think one of the reasons why this suspect is still alive is seriously, he couldn't hold the gun steady because he was in shock of how stupid the police were.
And are you being facetious?
No, sir, I'm not. I've talked to a lot of perpetrators that have been apprehended, and so many of them say, yeah, I'm, like, stunned at how stupid the cop was. You know,
well, what do you mean how stupid the cop was? You got a guy who is in jail. How stupid is the cop? How stupid is the guy that's in jail?
Well, no, I mean, that's true, you know. I mean, that's true. You know, a perpetrator's stupid. But I've talked to many perpetrators. They go, yeah, I know I'm stupid. But I never knew how stupid no cop was. And this guy, yesterday, he couldn't hold his gun straight because it must have been a shock to go, what? You know, I'm sure that's what he said. And don't get me wrong, these Tennessee police officers, I mean, they did good. They just look a little funny because they're all excited and stuff, and it's a new thing to them to do this. LAPD, man, that's like they rock and roll on a regular basis, you know.
All right, I'm talking with David Oliva. Are you going to go to the LA Police Academy? Is that it?
Yes, sir, I am. Yeah, I hope so. I hope to very soon. Yes, sir.
Okay, you're telling me that now you're telling me the Tennessee police are a bunch of hicks, and this was really exciting for them, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
look, it is my opinion that police officers, no matter where they are trained professionals and are not going to be overwhelmed by any given situation.
Well, Mr. Henry, could I just hold, you know, like, could you hold on for just a minute, please?
Yeah, what?
Well, please, you know, I don't mean to offend you, but... I'm the one who is studying law enforcement, sir, and I can tell you very much that you don't know what you're talking about.
Don't you think...
No, there's a world of difference, between LAPD and the Texas Hillbilly Police. You know, I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful.
Well, you are being very disrespectful.
Well, no, sir, I'm not. But I mean,
the Tennessee Hillbilly Police saved the lives of two little girls.
That's correct. Yes, they did, but that... So they did. So anybody could do that. So what? What's your point?
I mean, they saved the lives of those two little girls.
Yeah, but LAPD, it would have taken them 10 minutes, and they would have neutralized the perpetrator, and the little girls would be safe and everything. I mean, you say, you know...
So it was no big deal that they caught these girls, because anybody could do that, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what you train for. Any police officer could... So what? You know, Mr. Henry, do you remember the first time you learned to ride a bike? Your eyes got big and wide, and you're all happy and giddy. That's what the Tennessee cops look like with this arrest. Their eyes get big, and they're all giddy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This very dramatic rescue of these two little girls, which occurred yesterday at the hands of the Tennessee police. This guest of mine believes it wasn't all that dramatic. Any police force could have done it. And in point of fact, it was a little, I don't know, are you unprofessional?
It's just like a little hillbilly.
It was a little hillbilly. And you're saying LAPD never would have got into a high-speed chase that would have had the guy?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dave Oliva, who is a criminal justice student at the L.A. Canyon College. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with an aspiring police officer, an aspiring LAPD police officer, because you do make that distinction, David, correct?
I'm sorry, sir?
You make the distinction. You want to be LAPD.
Yes, sir. I'm not interested in being no... You know, that's the only police department that I think's worth being a cop on.
And you say that the Tennessee officers that saved the lives of those girls were hillbillies.
Well, look, I think you're taking it out of context.
Well, you did say that.
Yeah, but, I don't mean to say, anything bad about them. I'm just saying, LAPD, that's like talking about the Boy Scouts against the Marine Corps of America, see? The Boy Scouts and the America Marine Corps, totally different.
So the Tennessee police are the Boy Scouts and LAPD is Marine Corps?
Well, I don't mean to be offensive or anything.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Pam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Oliva.
Well, I think your guest is a dumbass. If he's going to be a LAPD, which I don't think he has any right to be a cop.
Hey, I'm not calling you a name. I'm not calling you no names.
Well...
if that's the level of your intelligence, okay... But LAPD.
Why is it all about the LAPD being number one and Tennessee officers being anything but?
Because I'm not saying they did a bad job. They just, the LAPD cops learn how to do the pit maneuver in the streets, not in like a county fair bumper ride. We're talking day and night.
Well, it sounds like for you, all you're concerned about is getting a gun in your hand and shooting the guy anyway.
Something? That's what it's all about. And if someday
that's not what it's all about.
Hey, if some guy's holding a broom handle to your, what do you want me to do? You want me to talk him out of it?
Well, okay, the broom handle thing.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
I think you better ask any real cop instead of cop wannabe
what
it's all about. I think shooting a cop, somebody isn't what it's all about.
Oh, okay. So let the guy live so he kills those two little girls and you'll feel better about that?
They had to do the maneuver that they were trained to do. They did the maneuver textbook perfect.
Are you police officer?
They did everything they had to do.
Are you police officer?
No. I'm saying
That's what I thought.
Well,
I can tell that you're not,
I'm an emergency dispatcher. I have been. I work for the courts. My husband's a police officer.
Okay, that means I can go, 2453. You mean like that?
Well, why are you saying that the Tennessee officers do their best?
They did do their best. They're just not good. They're just not that good.
All right. Thanks, Pam. 1-800-449-8686. Hold on for a minute. Let me go over here to Jim. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva.
That's on the phone. He's way off base. Anytime you save a life, whether it's a criminal or whoever,
what?
It does sound like he's a little gun holder.
Can I ask the caller, are you, your phone is crapping out or is cracking up or something? Maybe if you backed off of it a little bit, Jim, it sounds like it's breaking up.
Yeah, I'm on the road, I'm a truck driver.
A little hard to hear, hold on for a minute. Let me go over here to Bill. Bill, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Bill? Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. This guy here is cracking me up there. He said there'd be no police chases, or the LAPD would never let a chase like that go on for so long.
No, not like that. When two little girls were about to get blown up, no. Okay? Hey, I think you know what I'm talking about. If you've seen Starsky and Hutch, if you've seen the different shows, LAPD does not mess around.
Wait a minute. Starsky and Hutch is not representative of Los Angeles police?
Well, but I'm saying, everybody's saying... I don't like it when everybody's saying about other police.
Excuse me, Phil.
Nobody talks about LAPD.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just want to say, this guy here, not only do I think he's off base here and what he's talking about, he doesn't know the training those officers had in Tennessee. He doesn't know what kind of regiment they went through to become police officers.
Well, you know that's professional. You know that these are men that go to academies. You know, all of these are accredited police agencies across the United States, sworn to uphold the Constitution. These are professional men, and they save the lives of...
Are you two guys done?
I'm sorry?
Are you two guys done? Because I'd like to weigh in. I think I know a little bit more about it than you guys.
Well, are you a cop?
I don't think you know... I don't think you know anything about it, to be honest with you. I don't think you're going to make it through to any academy, even the LAPD there.
Well, are you a police officer, or are you just, like, watch, you know, what?
No, I'm not a police officer.
Okay, this is all I'm saying. The Tennessee hillbilly cops, which you guys are all thinking so great.
Why do you have to call them the hillbilly cops? It's the Tennessee State Patrol.
Okay, they did good. But so what, man? Anybody could have done what they did. I'm saying LAPD...
Anybody with proper police academy training probably could.
Right.
Not just anybody.
LAPD...
And not just the LAPD could do it.
No, but here's what I'm saying. LAPD, the guy never not would have got into the car. They would have neutralized the perpetrator on the driveway of the house.
You know what the difference between those Tennessee police officers and LAPD is? LAPD would still be chasing them down the road right now.
You know something, man? You don't know how you disrespect the... You know, look, this is not Dukes of Hazzard, okay, in LAPD. Still be chasing them, huh? Those officers in Tennessee train, but they have to train out on a farm. Okay, LAPD trains on the mean streets of the L.A.
I can't believe that.
Well,
you train on a farm, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, Bill, thank you.
All right, thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Aaron, go ahead. You're with Dave Olive on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to make the point, you know, I don't know how long you've been a student of criminal justice. Anyone who's been a student more than one semester knows the principles of lethal force and understands that you can't just go out and shoot everybody. It doesn't work that way.
Well, first of all, if you feel that a person's life is in danger, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Okay, that guy said he was going to kill them little girl.
Is going to be that. It doesn't mean that every call, every person that's got a gun, everyone that's in danger, everyone's life that's in danger, you're going to go out and shoot them. It doesn't work that way.
A good cop has an instinct. And I like to think that when I go to LAPD, I will have the instinct. I will know, you know what, I think I have to shoot him.
Then you won't have a job for very long.
What are you talking? Are you a policeman?
Yes, I am.
Okay, no, you're not. You're a policewoman. See, I tricked you.
My mistake.
No, I tricked you. On purpose.
Okay.
Yeah, see?
You know, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean you tricked her on purpose?
Well,
whether you're a police officer or not, does not
shows what her instinct would be like if somebody raised up a plastic gun instead of a real. She'd shoot the kid, and then I go, see, it was plastic. Like I said to her, are you a policeman? She goes, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, wait a minute, no, I'm not. She would have blown away a guy.
What? I mean, this is a real police officer here. This Aaron, right, Aaron?
Yes.
But let me ask you this. The man had said he was going to kill those little girls. Now,
Go ahead.
Yeah, wouldn't you assume then that he meant it and that you've got to do whatever you can to stop him?
Absolutely.
Well, that's what I said, but you don't...
Girls come first.
Well, that's what I said, but you don't respect what I'm saying because I'm not yet graduated from the academy. And
yeah, that's right.
That has nothing to do with it. Whether you've graduated or not, whether you're actually a police officer or not, does not play into this. At this point, the comment that I have for you is just that you obviously don't have a clear understanding of what the principles of the law really are. If you did, you would know that just because you have the right to or justification to shoot someone,
well, look,
does
you know,
mean that the officer is going to
sometimes you just had an instinct to start blasting. That's why I'd make a great LAPD.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The LA cops would have handled that Tennessee chase much, much better. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth one. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're talking about what I consider to be the heroic piece of great police work done yesterday in Tennessee. David Oliva is with me. You're an aspiring LA police officer. You've made no bones about it. You think LAPD LAPD.
Yes, sir.
Would have done it better than any other police force.
Yes, sir. Well, I mean, you know, the fact that you don't know that just shows, you know, I mean, everybody listening knows. I mean, think about it. LAPD, the rookie, they've made shows about them because everybody knows how good they are, you know? That's when I get back to school, I'm gonna study criminal justice. I know. I mean, right now I'm trying to get a business started with my cousin, and unfortunately, you know, tragically, I had an alcohol abuse problem. But I'm back. I'm good now. You know, and the LAPD liked to use a maneuver called the LaRouve, and that's when they would have used if the guy kidnapped those girls in L.A. And that's when you drive up behind the perpetrator, and one officer does this, will jump out onto the roof of the fleeing vehicle. Then he sticks his head in front of the windshield and basically tells the scumbag to pull it over. Yes, they do that. You know,
wait a minute, man. That's like something out of Dirty Harry.
No, sir. Yes, they did do that on Dirty Harry, but they do that. That is a technically correct move.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Peggy. Go ahead, Peggy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I'd just like to make a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
On the so-called officer.
I'm not a police officer. I'm taking criminal justice.
Well, whatever.
I'm a student, okay?
LAPD should be absolutely ashamed of you for getting on a radio and making comments like you do. Look, I'm from Georgia, and I don't care
Really?
Who rescued those children. Even if it was a canine dog that jumped that guy, I would lift that dog's tail and kiss its butt.
Ma'am, a canine dog, there's no such thing as a feline dog.
There is a canine dog.
You are redundant when you say canine dog. But that's what I mean about the hillbilly mentality.
Police use canine dogs in searches and rescues all the time.
I think the lady is saying K as in the letter K, 9 as in the numeral 9. Police dog.
Well, technically, it doesn't matter who rescued
those children. If it was personally, I would rather a dog have rescued those children than you.
Oh, really?
You are disgusting.
Hey, ma'am, if I'm standing there with a gun and there's a dog there and a perpetrator is about to slide a broom handle up your you-know-what, who do you want to shoot the gun? The dog? How do you even know he's had any weapons training? Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Canine dogs are smarter than humans.
Yeah, he knows how to shoot a gun? Oh, my God.
He knows how to get a hold of your balls, and he knows how to get a hold of your throat.
Well, that's not a talent that you don't have. How do you like me now, huh?
You bet I do.
How do you like me now?
And I tell you what, honey, if you ever stopped me, I'd take my 9mm and put it right between your eyes. I bet you would.
Oh, so you're a cop killer, huh?
I do not like you.
I will approach your vehicle then in the drag step, and the minute I see your face, I'm going to blow it away.
I hope you do, because I could get you first, baby.
Hey, you know what? I do the drag step, and you're sniffing the dog's
butt. Tennessee policemen are some of the greatest policemen and state patrol.
You're a cop killer. You just said so.
World.
Hey, and you want to sniff a dog's butt?
I would kiss that dog's butt if it rescued my kids, honey. I'd rather have a dog rescue my children and to hear you get on TV, radio, and talk the
way you
do.
I'm not on TV. Hey, you know what? I would take my nightstick. Oh, God, man. Oh.
You know what?
Wait a minute. What is going on here? I mean,
LAPD should be ashamed to even hear you on this radio station.
You know something? You seem to know all about sniffing a dog's area.
I hope the officer in charge of LAPD patrol people
that would be the
never,
chief of police.
Never, ever, ever let you in their department, let alone drive their car or carry a gun.
So you're anti-cop?
No,
I'm not anti-cop.
Well, it sounds like to me that you would be a potential perpetrator, and I would have to approach your vehicle in a cautionary manner. And as soon as I saw your face, then I pull out my weapon and I blow it away.
I don't think so.
Boy, that's not what a cop does. Thank you. That's not what a police officer does.
She said she would be armed, and that she would try to blow away me, so I would blow away her.
Well, I understand you have to defend yourself, but she's obviously having some problems. Well, look, we're not in disagreement here. We believe that the Tennessee police did a great job.
It's No, it's not that great.
Well, what do you mean, man? They saved lives.
So?
But they saved the lives of those little girls.
So what?
So isn't that good?
It's good. I guess it's good that I was able to squeeze one out today, too. Is that good? Yeah. But how good of a dump was it? See, that's what I'm trying to say. And nobody wants to hear me, man.
All right, let me go over to Jessica. Jessica, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey.
Hi.
I live right outside of East Ridge.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just wanted to say that you need to get your facts straight first, because the guy shot his ex-wife's parents, and killed his 10-month-old baby girl and took off with them. 8 hours later, they knew that he was missing with the three other kids.
No, I know, but...
And it was a citizen that found the guy anyway. She followed his car until the police could get to where she was.
There was a 911 call, right, Jessica?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know that. But LAPD, he never would have even taken off.
No, LAPD would not have even answered the phone. They would have been too busy out on the streets talking to hookers.
Oh, that's so funny, man. I guess you've been out to see the latest movies, huh? God.
Oh.
You know, I believe you live in Tennessee because you don't know what it's like on the mean streets of L.A. The cops are out there talking to hookers to get information to find out where, like, dudes that are going to live who want to kill their kids.
Huh?
What?
What did you say? I mean,
No, that's called informers. That's what police officers use, informants. And that's what hookers are. A lot of them are informants. But do you think this girl knows that? Living out there and, you know, my daddy loves me, Tennessee? No, I don't think so.
Oh, you think I'm from Tennessee? Just because I live here doesn't mean I'm from here.
Another
doesn't mean I slept with my father.
Well, where are you from originally?
I've lived a lot of places.
Was your dad in the military or something?
No, but my mother's father was.
Really?
Yeah.
What movies do you like to see?
What?
What movies do you like to see?
I like to see lots of different kinds of
movies. Did you see Blue Crush?
No, I didn't see Blue Crush.
Awesome. What are you doing, man? Are you picking her up, or are we having a conversation here?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, another maneuver we use at LAPD is called the can hang. That's when we're in pursuit of a perpetrator. We drive up beside him, and one of our female officers will take her blouse down. Okay?
Well,
and
that's great for L.A., but we don't need that here in Tennessee.
You probably don't have no girls that can hang them out the window as good. And another thing...
Oh, get out of here.
No, and the perp will then swerve out of traffic because he's looking at her cans, and he'll go, oh, Jesus.
Oh, I'm hurt, man. That. You're not even a real cop.
Hey, you know something? I'm studying to be a cop. Have you ever heard of Compton and Watts?
No.
Yeah, okay. That's where the cops work around here. They're not going down shutting down your daddy's still out in your backyard. They're down in Watts, man. And everything. And they're dealing with the gangbangers and everything. And then all of a sudden, a chick hangs her cans out the window, and the dude goes, oh, look at that, man. There's the chick's cans. Oh, no, my God. Oh, no, my God. I'm out of control. And that's the way it goes.
You must smoke pot or something.
You know something, man? No, I don't, because I want to be an LAPD.
All right, listen, Jessica, thank you. I agree with your assessment.
Well, okay, that's slander.
Well, that may be.
You're just jealous because you never will be able to do the can hang because you only have little teeny berry drops.
Who are you talking to?
The chick. Ain't she there?
No, she's gone.
Damn it, man. I was trying to, you know, talk her up, man.
Oh, yeah. You're doing a great job. Mike, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Mike?
Oh, hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling. I noticed, I believe it's David.
My name's Dave Oliver, yes, sir.
Yes, as he's doing all this talking, I said, he's never been to a country part of the world, apparently. His techniques, jumping out onto the hood of a car when you're running down going down a highway.
Yes, sir.
I don't think that would be very effective. But the real thing I was thinking about...
Why not?
Well, let's see, you're going 60, 70, 80, 90 miles per hour. Nah, I don't think you'd want to jump out of your car.
Well, wait a second. Have you never seen stunt guys in movies do it? LAPD officers are trained to do it.
But L.A. is a completely different thing than country.
Why can't you jump onto the hood of a car in L.A. any more than you can out in the country?
What? Then you don't go get the speeds that they do out there either because there's so much traffic. You've got lots more places. Access to go and cut people off.
Well, that's a good
in the
point.
City than you do in the country.
David, can you jump onto the hood of a guy's car if he's going over, you know, if he's going like 100 miles an hour down a wide open interstate?
Yes, yes, you can.
Well, I doubt it.
Well, okay.
I'd like to see that.
All right. Anyway, Mike, thanks for your call. Jared, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Jared.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm actually calling. I'm an MP in the United States Army.
What is that?
Military police. For somebody who wants to work for LAPD, I would think you'd know what a military police officer is.
Well, but it's not the same thing.
It is actually the very same thing. You deal with civilians.
You're beating up black guys in bars and stuff.
No, you're actually not. Have you ever been to Fort Bliss, Texas, sir?
No. Why would I want to go there, man?
Fort Bliss, Texas is the size of Denver. It's a military base. Those military people are not always on duty. There's traffic stops.
Do they have ghettos and stuff?
But there's also traffic stops. And
do they have a black area?
I think the issue here is you need to stop running so many movies from Blockbuster because that's not how police officers do their work.
My understanding is, as a military police officer, all you do is pull drunk Marines out of hookers' panties and stuff. I mean, you know.
No, that's actually
no.
That's probably something you gathered from the movies, also.
This gentleman, if
did you see that in Full Metal Jacket?
What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about...
No, wait a minute. This man is just got done telling you he patrols, along with other MPs, a military base the size of Denver, Colorado. And there are people, like you were saying, Jared, who are driving vehicles on the base. And what else?
There's everything that cops do in civilian life, that's the same thing that military police...
Well, it's like a pretend cop in a lot of ways. I'm not trying to disrespect you, but...
Well, you haven't done a lot of research, because if you did, you'd know that 90% of active LAPD are ex-military police officers.
What do you mean 90%?
90% of them.
Where'd you hear about that?
I did research, because I'm thinking about becoming a police officer after I'm done with the military.
In the LAPD?
And your chance... No, I would never work for the LAPD.
Why not?
Because it's a horrible department.
Oh, right, man. What do you want to work for? You want to go down to be the Tennessee Hillbilly Patrol?
Actually...
If you're an MP, then listen to this. You can't handle the truth. What did you think of that? That was one of those flicks that...
Yeah, we know what that's from.
Yeah, it's another movie.
What did you think of that, though?
Yeah, that was great.
You can't handle the truth. I love that so deeply, man.
I'm sure Jack Nicholson's pleased with that impression. The point is that all military police and civilian police have to follow rules of engagement.
Good point. Thank you very much, Jared, for your call. Here is... which line? Brad. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, man, you're a real dumbass, you know. This LaRouf crap is a bunch of junk. I don't know where you've heard this.
That happens to be, sir, a police technique that is taught in the L.A. Police Academy.
Is that right? Well, I guess that's why L.A.'s in the shape they're in now, huh?
What shape's that, man? I'm living large out here, dude. Hey.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. And another
Now, hold on for a minute. Looking for a police job, is that correct?
The LaRouf is what? It's a...
That's where you leap onto the roof of the pursued vehicle and slide down the windshield.
Oh, okay, all right. So I guess you learned that when you were drunk, is that right?
You know, I had an alcohol abuse problem. I'll go ahead and admit that to you now. But what's that got to do with the price of tea in China when I'm talking about LAPD? Did you see that the Tennessee Hillbilly Police yesterday?
I tell you what, bud, we'll get you tanked up and throw you out of one of our police cars down here on the Samaroos. How about that?
Well, I tell you what, even drunk, I could jump onto the roof of a moving vehicle because you're trained to do it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, come on down here then. We've got a job for you.
Hey, by the way, tell Boss Hogg and Roscoe I said hello.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, man.
How do you like me now, man? How do you like me now?
Oh, I love you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Listen, Brad, thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Dude, next police games, I'll kick your ass in the high jump. Dude.
All right, he's gone. LAPD, huh?
I can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be the day, brother. The LaRouf. That's nice. No,
dude, it's not called LaRouf. It's called LaRouf, you know? LaRouf, you know what I mean? Yeah? You know, like LaRouf a la mode.
Okay, that's fine. There he is. That's Dave Oliva, aspiring LAPD police officer with the LaRouve. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Welcome back. We're talking with a lady I just got on the phone here. You are got a son who is going to make you very, very happy, Bobby, right? Bobby Dooley with us from Western Estates Homeowners Association. Is that right?
Yes, Phil. We're very excited. My son, Seth, made his career decision, and he announced it to the family last night. He has chosen to enlist in the United States Marine Corps.
Congratulations.
And he said, Mom and Dad, I feel I've been sitting on the sidelines for a long time. I want to help my country. And I want my country to know what I can do, for it. So,
you must be proud.
We are very proud.
Well, congratulations. That's outstanding. Now, where is he going to do his basic training? Is it probably Pendleton, huh?
Well, you know what, Phil? Seth is a really special guy. My father was in the Coast Guard, and my son really gets it. You know, this idea of basic training, you don't have to go through a lot with him. He picks up so much so quickly. He was like that as a baby. When he was a baby, we would show him pictures. What is this? It's a car. You know, you go, it's really amazing. I said, what is this? Oh, that's, it looks like a house. He's very, very sharp, and I credit Steve, my husband, with this. What we're going to do is we're going to hope for a waiver on his basic training so he can go straight to officer's candidate school, because we are in need of leaders. We have to go to a break, don't we? Oh, my God, you started the character too soon, Phil, you stupid, stupid ass.
What the hell was I doing? Why did I go into character here at the end of this hour?
I don't know. But I am embarrassed for you. Are you going to roll at it again?
I guess I got to roll at it again, yeah. Oh, my. I've never done this before. I must be thrown off by the whole webcast, huh?
It must be. All right, I'll go back into your mind, and you can twirl me around and then spit me out again.
Is Steve there?
No, he's not. Jesus, is Steve there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686 to restart this bit.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley joins us from Western Estates Homeowners Association, and you got some big news that you got last night from one of your sons. Tell us about it. Bobby, you there?
Yes, I'm right here, Phil. Well, we're very excited, Phil, that Seth made a career decision, and he announced last night to us, to his father and I, that he has chosen to enlist in the United States Marine Corps.
Terrific.
He said, Mom, Dad, I feel I've been sitting on the sidelines a little too long. I want to help my country, and I want my country to know what I can do for it. So we're very, very proud, Phil.
Okay, well, that is it. Now, where is he going to do his basic training, do you know?
Well, you know what, Phil?
Because I would imagine it would be Camp Pendleton, which is just south of us.
You know what, Phil? Seth is a really special boy. He's not like a lot of other guys. He's... I know every mother loves his son, but I'm saying this objectively, as if I wasn't his mother. I'm just looking at him objectively. He is really, really intelligent. He's always gotten it about everything, and we don't think it's necessary, really, for him to go through this. I credit Steve with the idea that what we're going to look for is a waiver on the basic training, because...
That's unusual. I mean...
Well, it is unusual, but we're talking about a very, very unusual boy. He's really smart. you know, when he was young, I'd say, okay, you know, I'd show up a picture. What is this, honey? He'd say, oh, that's a house. And I'd say, and what is this? He'd say, a bird. He just got it from a very early age about life.
All right, but I've never heard of a waiver for basic training. Your son, we're talking with Bobby Dooley, your son wants to enlist in the Marines after high school, right?
Yes.
Okay, now he says that he wants to, you want to get a waiver for him?
Well, I wouldn't ask for one, Phil, and Steve wouldn't ask for one, but there's two really compelling reasons why my son shouldn't go to basic training and should go directly on to officer's training.
Okay, because that's what we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
We're talking about if you don't go to base, you want your son to skip boot camp in the Marine Corps and go straight to his officer candidate school.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. What are those reasons?
The reasons are twofold. Seth doesn't really need basic training. Like I was saying, he picked things up. He's picked things up so quickly. You can literally, and I know you're going to think I'm joking, but you can literally, here's the gun. He'll go, okay, I get it. Next. And you can say, all right, there's a tank. Okay, I get it. You know, he does. It's boring for him to sit there over and over again. He gets it about tanks and guns and these things. The second reason, Phil, I think is very important to articulate. Marine Corps basic training is very rude. It's very insulting. They treat the young men very, very in obscene vulgarity. I don't know if you're familiar, something that our country has been trying to come to grips with, this hazing thing, they do it all the time in the Marines, and they beat you up and everything. And so my husband believes we're going to strike a deal with Uncle Sam.
All right, now let me just stop you.
Yes.
Marine Corps training, like Army training or anything else, it's very, very difficult. I when you say they're obscene, yes, these are men with men. They use a lot of different words, and they...
No, you don't understand, Phil. They are calling these boys Mother F and this kind of thing. My son is not going to be treated like that. Now, the deal that we are going to strike with Uncle Sam is this. You waive the need for my son to go to boot camp, and we in turn will deliver to you, Uncle Sam, a young man with leadership qualities that surpass any other young man's in America. And
Now wait a minute, Bobby.
No, Phil, honestly, I'm saying this as...
Well, you're his mother.
No, I'm saying this objectively. I'm saying this as if I didn't even know him. And the other thing that's kind of a side benefit, we love the Marine Corps. You know, I told you my father was in the Coast Guard. So I get it about the military, and Seth gets it about the Marines, that they're not the best-looking guys. And the other benefit the Marine Corps will get really is a very handsome young man who will look good in the uniform. And it is a truism that men will follow another man if he looks good in that uniform. So that's the deal. Uncle Sam can take it or leave it, but I have a feeling that our government can't be that stupid.
You think they'll waive Marine Corps basic training for your son because...
Because he is. You don't want to let a specimen like our son get away.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show as we're talking with a very proud mother. And I know there's a lot of other mothers and parents out there who think that their sons are special, Bobby. But I would have to say...
Well, you keep saying that, Phil. Can I just interrupt?
Go ahead.
How do I say this? My son's very special.
You're saying your son is very special. Every parent thinks their son is special.
No, but he is. It's not me fantasizing like a lot of these, you know, women that I hear you talk to on your show.
What do you mean a lot of the women I talk to on my show? They all love their kids. They all think their kids are...
My son, Phil, right now is a young man who, when he becomes an officer, other boys will be glad to die for him. That's the kind of man he is. And you don't get it about mothers. We all understand each other. And I say to the women out there, believe me, if your son's going to the Marine Corps, he will be happy to die for my boy. In fact, I could tell you an interesting story.
Well, hold on. Let me give our number again. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Bobby Dooley about her son wants to go into the Marines, but he doesn't want to go to basic training, and Bobby doesn't think it's necessary because his son is very smart. He wants to go right on to officer training. I've never heard of this kind of thing before. He also mentioned he's so handsome, young men won't be mind following him or dying for him.
Let me tell you a story, Phil. Mary Kelly, who's a very dear friend of mine, told me that her husband, Brad, who was in the Gulf War, is very handsome, is a real leader of men, and when a squad he was leading in Iraq got attacked by the Iraqis, the men in his squad were cut to pieces, but they said, now listen to this, they said, we've got to save him. They were talking about Brad, because he is, you know, he's good looking and Mary's husband, and so he said thank you, and he ran and hid behind some rocks while they, you know, they were killed by the Iraqis, but they never found Brad, because they said, if nothing else, let's save him because he's good looking and.
I don't buy that men follow other men because they're handsome.
They're not handsome, but they look good in the uniform. You have to follow a man who looks like a leader, Phil.
Can I say this, Bobby, without... I have three sons, and I would not want my sons, if they were in a platoon led by your son, giving their lives up for him so he could hide behind a rock because he was good-looking, you know?
No, you're missing the point, Phil. You're really...
Well, what am I missing?
What I'm saying is, my son is so... He's not like any other boy. Men would gladly go through the gates of hell for him, my son. And if, yes, push came to shove, any mother in America, once they got to know my boy, would feel good that their own son died, perhaps horribly, but nonetheless died, to save my son's life. Now, that takes guts to say.
It sure as hell does.
But it takes guts to say because it's true.
All right, Bobby Dooley with us, 1-800-449-8686. I don't presume to know a lot about the military, but I do think you have to go through basic training, don't you? Ms. Dooley and her husband, excuse me, want to cut a deal with Uncle Sam, whereby Uncle Sam will not take their son through basic training, and in return, he'll get a first-class quality kid. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Bobby Dooley with me, her husband Steve Dooley, his son Seth is going into the Marine Corps. Your deal with Uncle Sam, you think your son is going to be able to avoid basic training? I've never heard of anything like that.
But again, Phil, we've been talking to some friends of ours who one of the men was in the Marine Corps, and he doesn't seem to think it's possible, and I said, look, get this and get it straight. My son is very special. The other thing, Phil, about Marine Corps basic training is they're very rude.
I don't call it rude. I'm, you know what?
Listen to me. Listen to me, please. Let me tell you a story about Seth. When he was very young, he led a group of his friends to safety. There were five of them playing in the playground. One of the boys started to throw sand. It got into the eyes of some of the other kids, and Seth said, you stop it, just like that. And the boy did. He was frozen. Just that, to me, is a sign of safety and of leadership.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Mark. Go ahead, Mark. You're on with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley.
Yes, I don't believe this lady has a good idea of what basic training is all about. Basic training is learning discipline, learning how to take an order. If he cannot take an order,
yes,
there's no way that he's going to be able to give an order and anybody follow him.
No,
it doesn't matter how pretty he is.
No, I understand that, but you don't need to do that with my son. You see, we're talking about a very special boy.
How many special boys do you think is in the Marine Corps?
I'm not familiar.
Well, that was the point I was trying to make, that every woman's son is special.
No. You don't understand. My son gets it about, yes, you have to do this. Yes, he'll do it. I mean, what, isn't that what they tell you? Go do this, and you have to do it. Right?
If he was given an order to go out and kill the enemy.
Yes.
Kill the enemy. Does he have the discipline to do that? 99% of the people do not do that. They break you down and remake you into a man, not a boy.
How stupid do you have to be when the man says, go kill the enemy, and go, oh, I don't know what that means. Oh, my God. They must be stupid in the Marines.
Wait a minute.
No, that's what the man's saying. Go kill the enemy. Yes, of course, I know. See,
but there's more to that.
There's more to it than that.
If he's not taking order, how can anybody expect to follow him?
Were you in the military? Didn't you?
I was in the military for 10 years.
And when a man cut a good figure in his uniform, you were proud to follow him.
But a good figure means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I don't understand. You're telling me...
I know. I can see that.
You're telling me a man that is physically pleasing to the eye and very cut... You don't want to go through the gates of hell for.
It doesn't matter what he looks like. It absolutely does not matter what he looks like.
Well, that's one man's opinion.
Well, all right, listen, Mark, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. I believe we have a retired colonel from the Marine Corps on the line here. Bob?
Yes,
sir. Go right ahead.
This is Bob, Phil.
Yes.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing from this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening, lady?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Okay, I assume... You do have a son, right?
I've been talking about him for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
his name is Seth.
About 19 minutes too long for the Marine Corps. There is no way that he is going to avoid boot camp. And secondly, if he were to go to boot camp, he would not be successful because they weed out weaklings, and that's what your son is.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I was in the Marine Corps for 20 years.
I'm not talking about taking down, you know, orders for how many jackstraps they need. I mean being able to...
Wait a minute. You don't know what this man did.
Well, what did you do?
Okay, I was in Korea, got the Silver Star.
What did you do there?
I fought for this country. And I didn't have to be good-looking, although I am. I was a leader. And your son is not. He does not deserve to go into the Marine Corps.
Well, you know what? Things and times in the Marine Corps has changed quite a bit since you were over there with, you know, a different shaped helmet, different guns.
In your son's case, I think the helmet should have a point on it.
Is that the kind of humor that they cut circulating in the Marine Corps? Because you guys really need some help.
Well, I think that your son is the one who needs some help because he has a mother who doesn't understand the Marine Corps and what it's all about.
Are you hearing this man, Bobby? He's a retired colonel. This is a man, a leader. This is an officer.
Well, what you aren't hearing is, why do you need to put basic training in for a boy who already understands about, you know, tank, gun, run, kill, all of that? Why can't he just go right to the officer school?
Well, you know what? I bet your son would excel in one of the three things you mentioned. Run. He would be a great runner. And if he were ever shot or whatever, it would be in the back, probably by his own men.
You know, we're having a Dooley family reunion in August. Family reunion. Uh-huh. You know, you are really a sarcastic bastard, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I am.
You know, well, look at Miss Dooley.
No, I'm not going to take it.
Miss Dooley?
I'm not taking it from him. I'll be God darned if my Seth is going to miss it so he can go to basic training. Well, so Uncle Sam can get down on his hands and knees and kiss my bright red Rosie.
Miss Dooley, we don't want your son. We do not want your son. Put him in the Army,
maybe
the Air Force.
Well, are you still in the Marines?
Retired.
Well, it's not we anymore, is it?
What'd you say?
It's not we anymore, is it?
What are you doing?
Marine is never retired. He's always a Marine.
Oh, yeah, I heard that once.
Well, your son will never hear it because he'll never make it in the Marine Corps.
Want to bet?
Okay, look, this is juvenile.
No.
Phil, this woman is a Looney Tune.
A Looney Tune?
Yeah, and that's being complimentary.
Who pays the tax? Bobby, 1,000 Marines would drop dead to see my son march over their bodies.
Phil?
Yeah. Listen, Bob, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Is he going with you?
Yeah, he's leaving. Bobby, I think that you are... I think you're dreaming, okay? Where are you anyway?
I'm just having my car work done.
What, at 9:30 at night?
Yes. Oh, I forgot to do it. Hey, Bob, if you're still listening, you can't handle the truth. I wanted to do that. You know something, Phil? One of the things about my son, Seth...
Who could have this fantastic?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here, and I'm really disappointed.
What?
Because you're eating while I'm trying to do an interview with you.
Well, so are you.
What do you mean, so... Yes, okay. Sounded like somebody dropped the tire over there.
Yeah, right on... Stevie, okay? Oh, God, look at that. Right on his foot. Phil, the point I'm trying to make that no one seems to want to hear, would you make Abraham Lincoln go through basic training to be a Marine? No, because he'd be Abraham Lincoln. So therefore...
Well, wait a minute. Is he Abraham Lincoln the president?
Well, yeah.
Well, he wouldn't have to. He's the commander-in-chief.
No, I mean the quality of man that I'm talking about. Would you make him go through basic training?
Yes, I would. I mean, because how would I know he's Abraham Lincoln?
Well, Phil, I can tell you that you don't recognize the kind of quality it takes to be a military man. Jose? Yeah, clear out the air freshener, too.
All right, I'm sad with, you know, I'm so sad that I've wasted as much time as I had with this crazy dingy broad. She's eating. What do you want now?
I want to ask you a question. Prince Charles is going to be king of England, right?
Yes.
Is he going to king school? No, thanks. Goodbye.
Good point. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with Bobby Dooley, a mother of a young man who's going to be, she hopes, entering the Marine Corps, but not going into basic training because he's a very special kid. What am I hearing? Music? Oh. And you think he's going to miss basic training.
Phil, I want to tell you something. My son has an enormous amount of leadership experience. I don't need for people to tell me how you have to go to basic training to learn to be a leader.
It is the United States Marine Corps. There is no getting around having to go to boot camp.
My son in high school was one of four varsity lettermen who was wrongfully and I think despicably accused of disgracing the school. One of the men, of the young men on his team, was not doing the job. You heard about what happened at Mepham High School. Those boys also took the fall for trying to keep a team together.
Those boys raped other kids with broom handles.
You know what? I don't believe it's rape. I think it's discipline.
So wait, your son was involved in doing this at his high school, and that would make him a good leader in the Marine Corps.
It's something I want them to consider.
Oh, hi, I want to be a Marine officer. What's your leadership experience? Well, I shoved a broom handle in a guy's rear end in high school. Do you honestly believe the Marines are that low of morality and character that they would accept a guy who actually walked up to him and said something like that?
You know something, when you join the military, you let me know. You don't know anything about it, Mr. Hendry. Nothing.
All right, well, I have a lady on the line here who is a Navy wife, Terry.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the
floor.
Yeah,
actually, I'd just like to make a comment. I've been a Navy wife for 20 years, and over 20, and a Navy mother for over 2 years.
Hi, Terry.
And my husband and son both went through boot camp,
yeah.
And your son needs to go through boot camp and go through it with the rest of his peers. If he comes out a leader amongst his peers through that, fine, he's a leader. He is not a leader just because you say he is.
It's
not just about that. It's about the camaraderie and getting to know people and learning to trust people. I got to get going. I got to go home. So that's my point.
Oh, well, gee, thanks for listening to what I had to say, too. You're very selfish, bitch.
Whoa.
Well, you know, I really hate that.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been listening to you for an hour, haven't we? We've been listening to you talking for a solid hour about your son, Seth.
So I just simply would like to say that I've never been treated so rudely, and I am not interested in being on your program. So you can kiss my ass.
I don't know. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. I really am sorry. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
With Bobby Dooley, go ahead. Is this Harvey? Go ahead, Harvey.
Yes, sir. I am calling. I'm a United States Marine Corps veteran of the Second World War. I was in Saipan when the Japanese were trying to pour, hot oil down the cliff there. Is the lady there?
Yes, I'm right here. I'm listening.
Well, let me explain something to you, and I would appreciate it very much if you'd ask the grease monkey there to quit drilling whatever he's...
I can't. I'm in a gas station.
What's that?
I can't. I'm in a gas station. They're replacing all four Michelins.
You can't. Well, let me explain something to you. If your son hopes to have a career
in the military, he's going to have to go through basic... Yeah, we already talked about that.
What'd you say?
I already know. People have already called in and said that.
You know, lady, boy, I'll tell you, if I saw your son walking down a street and I was in an automobile, I would try to hit him, and I would go ahead and take the consequences. That's how I feel about you. And you're, God, GDU anyway.
You see, this is what I mean, Phil. These old, dried-up Marines calling in and trying to tell me, a hip, young, now-together military mother...
But you're not a military mother.
No, you're not a military mother. You are a...
I'm a military mother.
You're not a military mother until your baby boy gets into a Marine Corps uniform. And let me tell you something. If that day ever happens... As the colonel who called in mentioned, I heard the gentleman, he's not going to survive basic training. They'll have to pour him out of a helmet. And again, if I were in charge of any camp that your son was stationed at, I'd code red his ass until he bled. And he couldn't sit down for 3 weeks. Pine cones, golf balls, little miniature Sputniks, anything with knitting needles sticking out of it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, let me tell you something. You think those kids up at Mepham High...
You know, you are really disgusting.
I'm going to tell you something. You think those kids at Mepham High had it bad, I'd shove a hand grenade up there. What do you think of that? Huh?
You know, you are really sick. You know, you're really twisted. I think the Marine Corps should be ashamed of you.
I'd jam a bazooka up that kid's rear end and go ahead, lock and load, baby, and I'd watch as he left this earth. That's what I think of you, your son, and your entire idea that some entitled punk from a Southern California suburb is going to get into the United States Marine Corps without going through basic training. So you can kiss my bright red rosy. What do you think of that?
Well, she hung up.
Oh.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier was on our show. No, excuse me, Ted Bell was on our show yesterday. As you know, he is the president of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. To say that, hey, he had sex with an older woman when he was underage and was the greatest thing that ever happened to him.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm a teacher, have been for 17 years, and I don't think it's okay for teachers to have sex with their students or any younger kids.
Have you ever thought about it, though?
Heck no. Why would I?
Well, you know, there might be a kid in the class who's good-looking, and you're having problems with your husband. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Happily?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What do you teach?
I teach English and math.
And you don't think it's okay? All right. Well, thanks so much for calling. Let's get another opinion. Should you have sex?
No, no. You know what? I've taught for 17
well,
years. I've had over 250 students.
You've had sex
with
my...
they trust
she
me.
Didn't have sex with anybody. She's had over 250 students.
250
I've had over 250 male students in my classrooms. And their parents trust me. More than that, the students trust me. If I was to have sex with one of them, it's not only wrong in my opinion, but I broke a trust.
Well, you have to understand something, Natalie. My name's Ted Bell. I know you've probably never heard of me, but you will. I'm one of the top businessmen in America.
Doesn't matter if
I
he was president
you.
Of the United States. He also
Natalie,
had sex and was fine with that, too.
I can assure you that you are the sex fantasy of many of your male students. When you walk in, what's your last name? Well, I won't ask you, but let's say they call you Miss Natalie or Mrs. Natalie. And they say, man, did you get a load of Mrs. Natalie today? She's wearing that knit skirt again. Holy sweet Jesus, she'd make a bishop break a stained glass window. And this kind of talk, see? And so anyway...
What a disrespectful conversation you're having with this lady. She's a teacher, for God's sake.
No, you know what? He's just dead. And
but she knows
thing
that.
No, wait.
You know that,
you
don't
know
you?
What? No, wait.
No, aren't there days
the
that you walk into
you
the classroom with
really,
a low-cut blouse?
Really, really, really aggressive with your opinion. But
right?
As soon as somebody else states it, you ride over the top of them.
Aren't there
like
days
there,
you walk into that classroom wearing an extra tight dress just so you can really drive the kids nuts? Yes
well,
or no?
You know, right.
What are you going to say?
You have
lady?
A problem, sir, and I think you need help.
When one of your male students comes into your class with a great Sean...
you know what? I've had male students have crushes on me. I think it's cute, and I make sure that
cute?
I don't... You know what?
Cute?
I think it's cute, as in pat them on the head, puppy dog. Please.
Really? And if they
because...
go home and blow their brains out because you patted them on the head...
Out of your mind, Belle. Are you
no,
out of your mind?
No, but you are. I can't believe
no,
you're on the air... promoting
about,
sex between
I'm not promoting it, I'm
kids.
Saying it. Why make a boy feel guilty about it when for the first time in his life the sexual fantasy
you know
of those freaky veggie boys?
The teacher.
Who?
The teacher. She's sick. That is sick and
you
wrong.
Got kids sitting in the front row of that classroom sweating. I mean, it's just beating up on their forehead watching you as you walk around with the pointer. In 1892, this happened and that happened. With the tight dress and the spike heels. I know all about it.
You know something? I'm going to let you go, Natalie.
Oh, sure. Let her go.
Thank you.
Let her go into class tomorrow and drive another kid nuts. I bet your kids sing I'm Hot for Teacher in the halls after you dismiss them, don't they?
I can't believe you're
I got it
man.
Bad.
You do not
got
have
it bad. Got
people.
It bad.
Goodbye.
Ooh, I'm Hot for Teacher.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, this guy's talking about communicating on an intellectual level. That means
yes,
going on and...
no kidding. Hey,
there he goes again.
Yeah, watch the horn.
I only did it because of that old lady who didn't want to...
Traffic.
What?
I think that everybody's been right as so far that he has some real control issues and
oh,
possibly an inferiority complex.
I thought you were going to give me a discussion.
Well, let's discuss. Talk
okay.
to me intelligently.
All right, here I will.
Explain to me why you want to remove a child's freedom of expression.
Well, no, wait, hold on. I believe...
And freedom of individuality?
Because they're under the age of 18, they have to be controlled a certain way. In my classroom, they don't talk about what I don't want them to talk about. They talk about what I tell them to talk about. I'm a teacher, okay? I don't know what you know about what I do, Sean, but I teach. no kid comes into my class and says, my daddy, you know, I'm going to...
Well, why can't you take that and build on it? And these people you talk about that barely speak English, why don't, as a teacher, why don't you offer them some sort of a way...
One of my kids is Chinese. All right. One of my boys in my class, a very bright boy, comes from China, Taiwan. He's got two parents. Oh, man. They always are calling me up, and they want some kind of a teacher conference. And everything is bong, pow, bong, lai. What the hell is that, you know? And I can't understand a thing they're saying.
Are you serious?
What?
Are you serious? What is it with you, man? Are you, an educator?
Why can't you put them in touch with somebody to teach them English? You know,
well,
the reading is fundamental group.
I would love to do that, but I can't stand there at a teacher-parent conference, and they're sitting there with their mouths wide open and a little bit of spit, and they're all, that's like every Jap movie I ever
Get them some help. You're a teacher.
Yes.
You're supposed to teach,
and
man.
How do you have a parent-teacher conference with people that don't speak English?
The boy interprets.
The son is there.
Yes.
Who? Now you're insulting the parents in front of the son?
I don't insult them. They're insulting me by coming into my room, into my office, and they're going, I'm going to die, and every kind of thing that reminds me of every Charlie Chan, God.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
What difference does it make what somebody does for a living?
It doesn't. But why do they get to tell me what to do for my life, for my line of... See, I don't come to your office and tell you what to do. But you come to mine to tell me what to do.
Because his kid may be in your class.
No, I don't come to your office and tell you what to do.
All these teachers, because these parents come into my office and go, oh, you know, why don't you not knock it off with this and don't do that. And you ought to hear the Chinaman. When they talk, it sounds like somebody dropping silverware, like the ching, clang, clang, ching. And I tell them to go to chew on a chopstick or something.
Are you you're an educated man?
8 years, yes, sir. I got my master's degree.
You sound like an idiot. You sound like an idiot. Sounds like silverware dropping.
Everything is clang, ching, chong, all that jazz. I'm an educated man.
It's not an intelligent conversation with you, man. You're a tart. You're a bigot.
I'm not a bigot.
You're a control freak.
I'm a teacher.
You have a lot of issues, man. There are people out there to help you.
I'll tell you what. Go into an inner-city school and ask them if they don't need some control freaks there.
Let the guy talk.
I spent several years of my life working for one of the states in our country in the Department of Corrections. Okay? That's inner-city as you get. Okay?
Yeah. And you could use some control freaks.
You don't earn respect like that.
I pulled my
eyes. You don't teach anybody like that.
Oh, that may be. But these people come in the only way.
You have very little humanity in you.
Sir, I love that.
You said it was a sad state of affairs when children start learning their parents' opinions. I would rather children in this country learn their parents' opinions than your...
That's a good point, Sean.
Communistic rhetoric.
Communistic? Wait a second. I try to relate to these
parents. Taliban rhetoric.
Hey,
Taliban.
I try to relate to these parents. I pull these parents.
You don't want them to have any freedom of expression.
I am attempting
to relate. You don't want to have any opinions.
I don't want them standing up in my class and going, yeah, my Chinese father says this guy.
Why not?
Because he just got off the boat. He can't.
It's America, brother. This is America.
This is the United States of America. People.
Yeah, but the guy don't speak English.
He needs to embrace everybody.
How can he have an opinion when he don't speak English?
He says it to his son, who then comes in and says to you, you know, my father, he's recently arrived in this country. He has an opinion.
Look, I try to relate to these. I pull the eyes back. I do the slanted. What I do it for a gag when they come in.
I don't know why you get so... You're such an educated man. Why do you get so upset over opinions anyway? You know what they say about opinions. Everybody's got one.
That's
our right in this country. And if you as a teacher, especially with 8 years of where'd you say? I don't know. South Carolina?
South Carolina. Oh, that's a hot one.
Woo-hoo.
I went to the University of Southern California.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the Trojans?
Yeah, the rubber.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's a condom.
I've been to Southern California.
It's a condom, huh?
Yeah.
I've been to Southern California. I've been to Texas. I've been to New Mexico.
Well, I've been to two
Oklahoma,
World's Fairs.
Nebraska, Kansas, Virginia, West Virginia.
Tennessee Cadet.
What are you,
homeless?
Doesn't
make me better than anybody else.
Look, the Chinese boy comes into my class, but that friggin' Mr. Spock haircut, he tells me his dad's opinion, which nobody can understand, and it's because it's a bunch of this, and all that stuff, and you know the communists run that country, and I'm supposed to be patient with that?
That's look, why he's over here
you
now.
Have every
you, you
swinging
know,
Chinaman coming on here.
You're not sounding pretend. Much better than what he left,
boy,
man.
No kidding. No kidding. And it's a bad representation of our country, Mr. Dozier. Bad.
Look, I'm 59 years of age.
I think you got ripped off on the education you paid for. If they didn't teach you just a bare minimum to teach you how to take somebody's opinion in stride or turn it around and show them another way, another view on that matter.
Okay, fine. Now I got to ask you a question because now you've pushed me to it. And I will ask you, and I hope you give me a straight answer.
Shoot.
Are you Chinese? Are you Chinese?
Am I Chinese?
That's what I said. I don't study.
No, I'm not Chinese.
Well, that's a bunch of bullcrap. You can't possibly be talking the way you're talking without you being a Chinaman.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking about Princess Diana and the most recent bit of information about this letter, and we're talking with Robert Greene about this. Bob, the letter purporting to contain the fears of Diana that she was going to be killed by Prince Charles. And we're having a hard time. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay, let me just restate my question. Your opinion about that letter, Princess Diana allegedly wrote to her butler stating she was afraid her husband, Prince Charles, was going to have her killed in an automobile accident.
Well, you really have to separate the emotion and understand what was going on at that time. And I would just counsel people to please don't be emotional, be critical, and think about what the British government and what the royal family was facing. I think what happened to Diana was horrible, absolutely horrible. I also would hasten to remind people what the British government was facing and what Prince Charles was facing.
Well, what was that?
Well, what was it? She was dating an Arab member of an Arab family. There are fears of some terrorist connections there and unfriendly government fears. One thing the British government could not allow was any marriage between Diana and Dodi Fayed, I think was his name. And I'm sure they tried to talk to her, and I'm sure they tried to reason with her. And I think it is a tragedy for that young woman. I think it's a tragedy whenever a government or an individual, such as in my case, the book that I wrote, is pushed to those kinds of extremes.
So you're saying the British government, you would... excuse me. Getting over a little bit of a cold.
Yeah, it's going around the grocery store.
All right. You're saying the British government, you find it entirely believable that they had Princess Diana killed.
Well, I find it believable. What I'm trying to say to you is please understand what the British government was up against. They looked at the prospect that Diana would have a child with the Arab that she was going out with, and the next thing you know, the King of England is Arab. I don't think I need to tell you how serious that could have been in terms of security. So when we talk about Princess Diana, yes, it's a tragedy that the British government may have been forced to do what they did, but let's be reasonable and understand you cannot possibly expect the British people to accept an heir to the English throne who's, you know, one of these Arabs. So,
all right, well, tell me about your book, which is called Family Betrayal, and it's available now in paperback. What exactly was that about, in your own words? That is a personal experience.
Phil, it is. My daughter, who I love very much, started going out with a young man from the University of Southern California who was of Asian descent, and I did not want her to go out with him.
And why was that?
The reason was that I had been involved in a business deal about 2 years before with this Chinese gentleman. He was supplying our grocery stores, and he decided to go to a larger venue and left us with a bill of literally seven figures in new displays and everything. So I got really stung by this business deal. And I'm not a religious man, but I remember I went home that night, and I swore an oath to God. I said, I'm not going to have anything more to do with the Chinese. And you can call it bigoted. And I'd be happy to explain why it isn't, but...
Well, I'm going to ask you that in a moment, but you forbade your daughter to go out with this Chinese boy.
Asian boy, that is correct.
And she insisted that she would.
And I told her that it was a matter of pride for her family that she not. She insisted. I begged her. I pleaded with her. She insisted. And I hired a young man who worked in our loading area, in our dock area, to follow her... to her car one night and threatened to rape her if she didn't stop seeing the Chinamen or the Chinese boys. So I didn't want to have to do that.
Now, you had this young man threaten your daughter. Did she know the threat came from you?
No, she did not.
And she stopped seeing the kid?
That is correct, yeah.
All right, I think we need to break right here. I need to break for a phone number, Mr. Green. Stay on the line. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green is CEO of Fraser Foods. He's also the author of Family Betrayal. We're talking about Princess Diana and the possibility that the British government had her killed so that she would not marry this Dodi Fayed guy. The possibility that the British government had her killed because Prince Charles wanted to be free. And you, sir, are saying that it is a necessary thing to kill someone?
Well, Mr. Henry, number one, you have to understand that assassinations take place.
But before you go into that, you also claim that you had your own daughter followed and you had her verbally threatened if she didn't stop seeing a boy of Asian extraction.
Yes, sir, and you can call me a bigot, but I would ask you this much.
Okay.
On the morning of 9/11, Mr. Henry, if I got on those airplanes and I told all of those Arabs that were going to hijack those planes to get off because I didn't like the fact that they were Arabs on that plane, and I got them off that plane, would you call me a bigot for saving 3,000 lives?
Are you saying that on the morning of 9/11, if you pulled those guys off the plane simply because they were Arab?
Simply because they were Arab.
Yes, I would still call you a bigot.
Yeah, okay, good. Good for you. You'd be calling me a bigot that saved 3,000 lives. So if that's bigotry, let me tell you what, mister, I'll take that every time.
But Mr. Green, you are arguing that it's acceptable.
I don't think it's acceptable.
No, but you're arguing that it's acceptable that if Prince Charles needed his freedom... the British government feared some kind of a compromise in security, that it was an acceptable thing to assassinate Princess Diana.
Absolutely. But again, I think you make me sound callous. I think you make any of us sound callous who feel this kind of thing is necessary. I don't like what happened to Diana. I thought she was a lovely young woman. I thought she represented her people well. She made a couple of mistakes. One of them is you don't go thumbing your nose at the British crown. We're talking about the country that developed MI6, MI5, the most sophisticated military intelligence operation in the world, and you're going to make fun of them, you're going to go out with an Arab, as if to say, you know, you can just take it and you can stick it? I don't think so.
But you're making it sound as if Princess Diana went out with an Arab to thumb her nose at royalty.
Well, whatever the reason, you don't go out with one of these Arabs and not expect the MI5, MI6, British Secret Service, British Special Services, not to get pretty tied up in knots about it, not to get their jaws tightened up about it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The British government might have had Princess Diana killed, and it might have been necessary. That is the opinion of my guest, Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods, who has written a book, Family Betrayal, about his own dealings with his own daughter, who went out with an Asian boy against his wishes. Let's go to Anne on the Phil Hendry Show. Anne?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, my point is, and this is my definition of a bigot. My definition of a bigot is an individual who will choose to condemn an entire race based on the activity of a single person of that race. And based on that, I would say this man is definitely a bigot because...
Well, but I put to you the same question I put to Mr. Henry. If because of my bigotry, I got all those Arabs off of those planes on the morning of 9/11, would you still not like me because I'm a bigot?
No, I would still say that you're a bigot because...
Even though I saved 3,000 lives.
I would still say that you were a bigot.
Well, okay, then I would say I'd like to have
a lot
of guys like me around.
I wouldn't say that I would be happy or sad, but I would say that you would still be a bigot.
Oh, you wouldn't be happy that 3,000 lives were saved. Okay, that says a lot about you.
No,
well, wait a minute.
You didn't hear what I said.
That
I said
says
I
a
wouldn't
lot about,
say...
So you'd be happy that 3,000 people got butchered up.
You did not hear what I said. What I said was that I'm not going to comment on whether or not it would make me happy or sad. Going to say that it would still say that you're a bigot.
But you not saying anything means that you're happy.
I am definitely an individual who does not believe the ends justify the means.
Okay, and by that statement, you're saying you're happy 3,000 people died.
I am sad that 3,000 people died. And you can't guarantee me that what you would have done that, so I'm not going to make a comment on it.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm not a bigot.
I disagree.
Asians because they cheat me in business.
One Asian cheated you, so you're condemning the entire Asian population.
All right, well, let me ask you, how come they call
them
inscrutable? How come they say that Asians, you can't figure out what they're thinking because of the way their faces look?
That's bigoted.
No, people say that.
That's a bigoted
comment.
Well,
I'm sorry, Ms. Henry?
A lot of people may say that. It doesn't mean that it's true.
Well, if a lot of people say it, then there's got to be some truth to it. You don't think?
No.
What are you laughing
no,
at?
Because a lot of people said that the world was not round. That didn't make that true.
Ma'am, when a member of a family...
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous logic.
No, when a member of a family betrays the rest of the family, like Princess Diana did with this Arab, and like my daughter was doing with the Chinese, I'm sorry to say there aren't too many options. And threatening my daughter with rape...
Threatening your daughter with rape is pathetic.
Oh. In other words...
My other comment is going to be with the whole Zodi Fayed thing and the Diana thing. If you think that the only option the English government had was to kill Diana, you're wrong. They could have killed Zodi and accomplished the same thing.
And then they got
problem. I think you've got a screw loose
somewhere,
honey.
No, they couldn't do that because if they only kill the Arab, then all the Arabs go ape. They got to kill her, too.
Well, apparently, if you're saying that they did it well enough so that nobody's been able to pin it on them so they could have killed him and not they had it pinned on him. So I disagree with that statement.
Well, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
All right, thank you very much for your call. Oh, I hung up on her prematurely. 1-800-449-8686 is the number of the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Robert Greene, who believes the British government may have had no other option, that they were in a fail-safe situation. They might have had to kill Diana in order to save the British crown from being taken over by what Mr. Greene refers to as one of these Arabs. Now, he also, Mr. Greene, has experience. He had his own daughter threatened with rape if she didn't stop seeing some Asian kid from the University of Southern California because he'd been cheated in business by a Chinaman, or what he calls a Chinaman, several years before. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Is it acceptable if the British government was in fear, was afraid that maybe the throne would pass to an Arab, Ugly though it may be, was it an acceptable option to have Diana killed? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm here with Robert Green. We're talking about Princess Diana. You want to make a point?
Yeah, Phil, look, if the hijackers on 9-11, they were all Arabs. Now, if one was Arab and one was Greek and one was Italian, it would be a different story, but they were all Arabs. So it is safe to say that Arabs in large numbers will hijack airplanes. If one Chinese rips me off, as in business, I got... And no other people have ever ripped me off except this Chinese. I think it makes sense that you can say the Chinese, you know, are rip-offs. So I don't want my daughter marrying a Chinaman who's going to sink a shank in my back any more than I would want Princess Diana to marry an Arab who might very well fly an airplane into a building and kill her and her newborn son. That's what the British government was afraid of.
But you're saying, therefore, they were justified in having her killed if that, in fact, happened.
I said it was ugly, I said it was terrible, and I said I wish to God it had never happened, but she left them no choice. They probably begged her, pleaded with her, don't go out with this, don't, you know, go on dates with him, and she did. And I can tell you one thing, Mr. Hendry, because I've begged and pleaded with women in my life, and what do? A lot of times they turn around and spit in your face and laugh.
And now we're going to, you know, I guess judge all women, huh?
No, we're not judging all women. No, I'm just saying that that's a lot of times what they'll do.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Kelly, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green.
Okay, Mr. Green, I just want to tell you, I think that you are a seriously sick and dangerous person. You know, the other
this
thing
is what I'm
that everybody...
This is, see, women hate, you know... Why are women so full of hate?
No, I'm not full of hate, honey. You're the one full of hate. The example that you just gave, the other thing that all those people had in common is that they're all men. So therefore, should I say that all men are bad and evil,
well,
and therefore we shouldn't have men in the world?
That's a great point, Kelly. Ms.
Well,
Green?
You know what?
Well,
Wait a second, Mr. Green.
No, that doesn't apply. That doesn't apply.
Absolutely it applies. And the other thing, Mr. Green, is that we were all created equal in God's eyes. God doesn't care if someone is a Chinaman, an Arab. He loves us all the same. And I think that you have some serious repenting to do. The fact that you think that you can say a prayer to God and condemn all Chinese people, and to make it worse, to subject your daughter to something so violent and frightening as someone threatening her in a parking lot, you are sincerely a sick, sick man. You need to get help. You honestly need help. And I say that in love.
God would not want to be ripped off for $1.3 million worth of Asian displays either, would he?
Honey, it has nothing to do with that. You dealt with someone who had greed or was somehow unethical. It had nothing to do with the fact that he was a Chinaman. Chinese people have contributed very positive to this world, very positively to our culture.
All right, I would like
they're
to
loving and beautiful and intelligent people.
I believe that.
Tell me how.
How
what I would say, Mr. Green, is after listening to you talk,
I would hang up
the phone and say all men that write books and are named Mr. Green are morons. So therefore, I'm going to quit dealing with anybody named Green because you have to be stupid. You're from the same bloodline as this guy on the phone.
One thing is true about all women. They talk too much, and you've just proved it. Thank you and good night. I mean, am I allowed to say anything?
Of course you are. And what's with the crack about they talk too much?
If she took a breath, I'd like to know when it was. Hello?
I'm taking a breath now. Go ahead and make something substantial.
I thought maybe you had stuff in your mouth. I don't know.
All right, let's be polite, all right, sir?
Yes, sir. The point I'm trying to make is the British government probably got on their knees and begged Diana, don't go out with the Arab. Why? Because if she has a baby by this guy, the next thing you know, the King of England is mixed breed, is a is a half-breed.
You think that's being a half-breed bad?
Wait a minute. You are not going to have a half-breed be king of England. It's not going to happen.
Is being a half-breed bad? Are you 100% American?
I didn't say it was bad. I just said, you think the British are going to accept a half-breed being the king?
Can we not say half-breed? Can we say a mixed-race child? He's not even mixed race. He's a child. He's multi-ethnic. I don't know what you want to say.
Oh, okay. Multi-ethnic.
He's a person. He's a man. He's a baby. He's someone that was loved by both
parents. Ever been to Britain?
He's someone
I've been
that is
there,
esteemed
and I've
by
been,
God.
I've been in some of the most dangerous bars and pubs in Britain, and I can tell you that the characters you meet in there, you put a half-breed on the throne of England, and they'll take his throat out.
Well,
oh,
I would guess if there are a whole bunch of people that are very similar to you living in England, Mr. Green, then I would say that that's the case.
Well,
I don't really care.
All right,
I personally don't care.
Look
who our governor is in California, and I think that's great. It's what makes us great.
All right, thank you very much, Kelly. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Green, I know you don't think you're a bigot, but you're coming off with some frightening comments. And the fact that you believe the British government might have had good reason, as you say, to kill Princess Diana because, well, having a half-breed on the throne of England was not going to be accepted by a bunch of pub trash is beyond reason.
No, look, you got to be in my shoes. Mr. Henry, when your daughter comes to the door of your house with one of the Chinamen, you give me a call. Tell me how you feel.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Was the government of Britain perhaps justified in having Princess Diana killed if they didn't want her associating with Arabs? 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're back talking about Princess Diana and this letter, a troubling letter, allegedly uncovered, written to her butler saying she feared for her life. She feared that her husband, Mr. Green, her husband, not the British government, although you think it's one and the same.
Well, let me explain something. I've been a grocer. I've been in the grocery business now for 30 years. I have worked as an assistant produce manager all the way up to a checker, and then assumed management, and eventually I remember when they gave me the keys to the store, and I was able to go in and out of the loading bay. I've been around a long time, and I can tell you right now, the British government, when Prince Charles wants her killed, that means the British government does.
All right, and tell everybody that you threaten to have your own daughter raped.
Well, you know, you keep saying that.
Well, it's true, right?
Yeah, but why? What?
Because some Chinese guy that was supplying your gourmet Asian food decided not to do business with you.
Yeah, you make it sound as if it's not about a terror. He stuck it in and broke it off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Stacy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Hi, Stacy. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Green, you're totally unaware or ignorant of how the British royal family works, how the ascension to the throne works.
Are you British?
No, I'm not British, but I know the royal family, how it works.
What's that
Prince Charles,
accent you
excuse
got?
Excuse me.
She's
Prince
from
Charles
the South?
is the
no,
Prince of Wales, and as such, he is the direct legal ascension to the throne is in his.
Who
in
is?
Him.
Who is?
Prince Charles.
Right, he's
is
British,
the Prince
right?
of Wales, and the next in line for the throne. Following him, Prince William is the next in line for the throne. Diana was divorced, so she is no longer part of the royal family.
Can I ask you
and
a question?
Could
you accept someone of half Arab?
That's not
as
the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make to you is that you've got your facts wrong. Your facts are incorrect.
That child,
Diana,
that
would never
Diana,
have had a child who could be a royal on the
what
royal throne.
The kid might be led to believe that he could. He could have the throats cut of.
No, you.
What's his
whatever
name?
Whatever your
Harry
opinion is, sir, on that matter, your facts are incorrect.
So Stacy's point is,
could never
there's no ascension to the throne from any of Diana's offspring, legally.
Except William. That's right.
But here's the deal. Here's the thing. The British government is afraid to have her dealing with this Arab in case somehow they change the law.
No, there is no way. After Prince Charles comes William. So any child that Diana might have had would have no access to
Charles,
the throne at all.
William, Harry, and then Mohammed.
No.
Yeah,
after Harriet goes back to Andrew, Andrew's the next in line.
Well, you're not British, and I don't think you have your facts.
I have my facts exactly right.
You're not English.
Well, she's more
of
English sounding than you.
I'm origin here, and I have my facts correct. You're the one who's ignorant.
Thank you very much, Stacey. We're talking with Robert Greene. So, in other words, he can't...
Well, first of all, Phil, the point that I'm trying to make is the British government felt that there was a need to have Princess Diana run over, and I don't know what those reasons are, but certainly they had to do with national security, I'm sure.
And she wasn't run over. She was,
Well, they had her crashed, or, you know.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Peggy. Peggy, go ahead. Peggy?
Is that me?
Yes, Peggy, go right ahead.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
I'm concerned because of one of the things you've said, actually several, but every single nation, every single race will have someone that will cheat someone else. And whether it be male or female, no matter who, to condemn one race because of one person cheating would be equivalent to condemning the whole world. Because
well,
no
I've only been cheated by
this.
A Chinaman. That's all I know. See?
I'm
sorry. Did you hear me, Peggy? I said the only person that's ever ripped me off is a Chinese.
Oh, you've been very fortunate, Sam, because it happens all the time. That's why there are people all over the world that are in jails.
Well,
and I'm sorry that you got ripped off by that one person, but, you know, every single race will have people who will do it. So that's...
You know, I did everything I could to keep this guy on my good side. When he came with his deliveries, I actually queued the Chinese national anthem to the store. We had it on a speaker. Go ahead, Bobby. That's the Chinese national anthem, and when they were bringing in all the noodles and everything, we'd play it. Is the lady there? I don't know.
Peggy, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, so why am I treated with disrespect when they're bringing, you know, noodles and everything, and I got this going on?
Okay, may I ask you this? Have you ever been treated with respect by Asians?
Well, you go to a Chinese restaurant, the guy takes your order and brings the food hot, if you call that being treated with respect, although they try to tell me what kind of beer to drink.
Oh, okay. Come on, Mr.
My
Green.
My thing is that just simply not understanding where they're coming from isn't necessarily not being treated with respect.
Absolutely.
And that one probably did, but that doesn't mean that all of them do.
Good point. Thank you, ma'am, for your call. I believe that it's called profiling. You know,
oh, no, don't go down that road, okay? I treated this guy with respect. The noodles would come in, and then I would say to Bobby, I'd hit it.
What do you mean the noodles would come in, and then you tell Bobby to hit it?
I said, go ahead and play the song.
Good God.
Mr. Henry, I think what people are missing is this. The Chinaman...
Well, you forget about Chinese people or Arabs. We're talking about Princess Diana and the need to have her killed, which you said was justified.
I think in matters of national security...
How was Diana a threat to the national security of Britain?
She was going out with an Arab. I don't know if you heard about something called 9/11. It was in all the newspapers. Arabs did it.
All right, well, the fact that... So they had her killed, and 9/11 still happened.
Well, it's an ongoing war, sir.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, and let's go over here to where? Vivian. Go ahead, Vivian.
Yeah, well, the one thing about it, Princess Diana was killed in 1998. September 11th happened in 2001. Does he know that it was that many years difference?
Well, it might have been a lot worse.
No, you know what? My problem with you is the fact you want to take away a few people's rights. You want to take away a lot of people's rights because of a couple of people. Because of a couple of people. And the thing is once you take away their rights, then your rights are going to be gone. And then what are we going to be? Are we going to then be in a dictatorship or a communist?
How am I taking away anybody's rights?
You
said,
wanna,
I don't
you
want...
are tr-
just want to take away the Arab's rights.
No, I'm not. I just said they
absolutely
don't want...
we are.
No, yeah, their right to marry Princess Diana. Is that like a big constitutional right or something?
You know what? It's called freedom of choice. Have you heard of it?
Diana was a threat to Britain's safety, just like my daughter and this Chinese guy were a threat to my grocery store chain. I'm sorry?
She was absolutely not part of the British family anymore. She would not have been a threat to the security of that country.
The security?
The problem with you is you want to take away certain races' rights.
No, I do not, ma'am.
A couple of people within that race, and what's going to happen is that all of our rights are gone.
My daughter marrying a Chinaman was going to take away the security of Fraser Foods and our expansion plans, especially our delicatessen expansion plans for 2004.
Okay, so the man was from China. Are you sure he wasn't an American? You sure he didn't become an American citizen? You sure you didn't offend him by playing the Chinese national anthem when you should have been playing the American national anthem? Did you ever try to figure that out?
You know what? That's a very good
background.
You know, well, you know what? I'll score one for you. You're right. I never. So you're saying it might have pissed him off that I was playing.
He could have been an American.
Jesus.
What an idiot. So, in other words, there's an American, Asian American coming in with the noodles and chopsticks, and you're playing the Chinese national anthem.
You know, I don't appreciate being laughed at, sir.
Well, we're laughing at you.
Because that's what you're doing. You are profiling people. You know, people in this country, we didn't come here. We all came from different countries.
Yes.
What countries is your family from?
America, thank you very much.
No, what country
is your... Are you Indian?
Am I an Indian? No.
Are you an Indian? They're the only ones that were here originally. Everybody else came over by boat. Where
actually,
did you come
no.
from?
The Indians came from Asia, so they were not here originally either.
They were here before everybody else. Where are your roots from?
Three guesses.
Look, Mr. Green, you can make a joke about this if you want, but the fact is, the lady's making a very good point.
If my daughter marries Hop Singh and I die from a heart attack, all of a sudden the Fraser Food neon sign comes down and we got Benny's Chinese Noodle Market going up. And I guess that's what the caller wants, huh? Is that what's supposed to happen? Generations of my family, the grocery business?
Where country is your family from, sir?
My family is originally from Switzerland.
From Switzerland? The people that hid all of Hitler's money. So should we now
overrated.
On you and not go to Fraser Foods?
What do you mean hid Hitler's money? I don't understand.
Didn't they just take all the Jews' money, refuse to get it back, and all that? So should we now not go to Fraser Foods because you're part of that ethnic?
I don't know what she's talking about.
The Swiss government colluded with the Nazis to hide art treasures and the money of Jewish families that they stole.
All right, what do you want me to play the Swiss national anthem? I got it. Go ahead, Jody.
No, but maybe we shouldn't go to Fraser Foods.
What the hell is this?
It's the Swiss national anthem.
All right, ma'am, thank you very much for your call.
Now, wait a minute. She hasn't answered my question whether she believes the Chinaman...
Shut up! The cats play the Chinese national anthem while they're coming in with noodles. All right, anyway, that is Robert Green. His book is called Family Betrayal, How My Daughter Betrayed Me with a Chinaman. Available in paperback. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, and will you please?
Ah, yes. All those little tiny Chinese steps coming down the aisle.
Great.
I know.
Oh, stop. Dude, really old, huh? Tired stuff. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm horrified at this person's opinion. I say doctor, but sure, And can I talk before you start in? Because I just want to get a few comments.
Go right ahead. But I don't like anybody telling me my business. That's all.
No, no.
Okay.
I would never tell you your business.
That's
like
great.
I would never want someone to tell me my business.
Of course.
But my opinion is I would be very scared to go see you. Because if you're having a bad day, I'm going to have a worse day. Do you realize the things you're saying on national radio, admitting to putting a woman on stirrups and going out to lunch, leaving her in pain for a half hour to 45 minutes? You're talking about giving a little kid X-lax. Yeah, you're right. It's not going to hurt him, but it ain't going to help him either. I mean, the things that you're saying on national radio scare me, and then you're saying you're a doctor next to godliness.
Well,
I don't understand this.
Sir, we got to raise the bar with our patients. I have put up with their abuse for all of the 31 years I've been a doctor. I've listened to them complain about me not taking their insurance card. I've heard them screaming about not validating parking. Every time I give a guy a prostate exam, you'd swear to God he was in the Spanish Inquisition torture chamber. It's a finger up the rear end. Holy Jesus. And the shots that I give kids, I give the, as you know, children have to have their boosters as well as their full immunization. These kids are screaming and crying. And
wait a minute. I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
That's what kids do when they get a shot. They scream and they cry. Children don't like shots. You have to feel it.
But, I mean, part of your business, aren't you taught some compassion to deal with these people like this?
Who?
I've been in the, let me tell you something, I'm in the repair business, and I've been in it 15 years, and you know what? I got out of it when I started really wanting to hurt my customers, strangling them, people that don't pay me. Trust me, I'm telling you, you're heading for a malpractice. You're heading for a lawsuit. You're heading for jail because you're taking it out on your customers when sometimes you're admitting to me it's not even your customers pissing you off. It's someone else in the room that's pissing you off. And the next person in line, guess what? They're getting the bullet.
Wait a minute. What are they going to put me in jail for? Because I didn't wash my hands after going number two? They're not going to put me in jail for that.
And I'll tell you what, the American Medical Association, whoever licenses you as a physician, whoever licenses or oversees medical facilities will have something to say about that.
Oh, really? And who's that, Mr. Andrey?
Sir, I don't know.
Exactly. You don't know. You and all these people who call in complaining about me, I'm the only thing standing between you and your kid and the grim...
1-800-449-8686.
Ooh.